Welcome to another episode of The Best in Tech, the podcast with only the best in technology. This week I've got something really exciting for you guys. I'm sitting here with Claudius and Michael from Spotify, and unless you've been living under a rock, you would know that Spotify launched yesterday in South Africa. And it is very exciting news for a lot of reasons, which we'll get into very shortly. Claudius and Michael, how's it? How are you guys doing?
Yeah, great. Well. Yeah.
Good. Excellent. We'll be back with the show right after this. Welcome back. Welcome, Claudius. Welcome, Michael. How are you guys doing? Welcome to South Africa.
Yeah, thanks. Great to be here. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, hi. Thanks a lot for the warm welcome. We're very excited to be in South Africa.
Is it your first time in this country?
Well, no. So that's me, Claudius. I've been coming to South Africa since about 11 years, back and forth for business. I'm actually based in Dubai. We've been following also the music scene for a very, very long time in South Africa. We're quite excited to launch.
So the first question I want to ask you guys, what took you so long to get to South Africa? I mean, Spotify, as we all know, is one of the top streaming, probably the top streaming service in the world. All of my international friends have been raving about it for years. The first exposure to any streaming service I ever had was Spotify. Many years ago, I think you guys were still in beta, and I had a friend that was on it in Germany, Munich, and we were sitting there, and he was showing me any song I want at my fingertips, and I was blown away.
Yeah.
Why did it take you so long to come to South Africa?
Yeah, right. Look, the world is a big place, and there are so many countries on this planet. What Spotify is dedicated to, and if you look back into other launches, is that we make sure that we have all factors and licenses and content and setup in place to deliver an absolute wonderful and superior customer experience and service in each country. And we feel now that the timing is absolutely perfect for Spotify to arrive. We have more and more people on smartphones. We have data becoming more and more accessible. And we have all the licenses in place. We are 100% legal service, and we also have very much a locally curated music playlists and local editors.
Obviously, a big part of your global expansion is going public or being listed very soon, I would imagine. Also, a bigger part of that, I think, is you've got a lot of competition from a lot of other players around the world rolling out. I mean, we saw Deezer, Simfy, and iTunes launching it within the last few years. How much of that is strategy on your part, and how much is just, let's just get our product into as many people's hands as possible?
I mean, we believe that we're very dedicated to customer experience and to make Spotify a really great place for people to consume and listen to music. And we feel that this should be exposed to as many people as possible, of course, with the right setup, as Claudio said. Mm. But we're really excited to be here and to make our product available. And that's independent of any other things. We're really focusing, especially us two, are really focusing on the markets, on the product, on the... On the localization of the product in terms of content, sorry, that's what I meant, and on having the right partnerships and everything locally right in place. So,
yeah.
We don't focus on competition or any financial aspects.
How much demand did you get from South Africans? I remember sending a few mails to your team many years ago, asking the questions: When are we getting you guys? How much of the demand have you seen from South Africans saying we want a service in South Africa?
Yeah, so South Africa is a let's say a very well-established music market if you put it on the global map, and so naturally there has been a lot of demand. There have been many requests. If you have been going on our website spotify.com about last week, the service was not available yet, and you could sign up with your email addresses, so we had a very relatively large number of people being interested in Spotify and coming here. So, and it's this also reflects to the feedback that we're getting in these days here in South Africa, that people have been waiting for a while, and they're really embraced that Spotify is live now.
And as you said, there's also a lot of customers here in South Africa which have already been using Spotify through various gray areas of possibilities with VPN and so on, which also gave us great feedback that people are actually excited to use the service. Mm-hmm. And by the way, it's also easy to switch now to the official South African account.
Yes, we spoke about that at the launch yesterday. So anybody that actually signed up for an account in any of the international territories can sign up for it, well, can change their account to a South African account just by switching the territory, the region in the account setting, right?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Fantastic. Now, we've seen, I mean, if we look at South Africa's South Africa's growth in internet access, I mean, fiber is now readily available in most of the suburbs in South Africa with spectacular internet download speeds. Obviously, this has enabled South Africans to do a lot more online. Streaming videos like Netflix is obviously a very big thing. We've got a few players now. Showmax is one of the big competitors. When you're looking at bandwidth capacity, and I'm touching on the CDN side of things, but when you're looking at wanting to roll out into a country, how much of that decision is based on what the audience in the country is able to stream? Is it a data? Is it a bandwidth thing? Is it a connection speed thing? Or does it not really have anything to do with it?
Yeah, I mean, data is, of course, access to data is, of course, important. We have very good and spread out content delivery networks, as you referred to. So from our side, we can deliver our content with a very short latency to basically all over the world by now. This also probably is one of the key success metrics for Spotify, that you really click on play and then the song starts, just like on the traditional CD player. And of course, it's very exciting to see that South Africa is now moving into fiber, because that also allows for the premium product. If you have it, then you can easily download anything at home and then take it with you wherever you go. So it's great that broadband is available at the homes of people.
Obviously people can download, so you just flip a switch, your tunes get downloaded, so you can play it offline. What is it kind of bandwidth we're talking about on that? Do you have any idea of the bandwidth downloaded?
Yeah, I mean, you can actually decide as a customer. That's the freedom you have at Spotify. We decided for the South African launch that we would send the standard to 24 kilobit per second, which is actually a very efficient way
very
to
efficient,
deliver
yeah.
music. Yeah, so it's about 10.8 megabyte per hour. But you can scale it up to 256, best case. So you can you're flexible yourself to decide, and you can even distinguish between Wi-Fi and mobile usage.
Yes, yes. So you prioritize only Wi-Fi downloading, which a lot of South Africans would appreciate.
Yeah.
When we're looking at, when we're looking at licensing to get music streamed globally, I mean, you guys obviously have the agreements in place with many of the, well, with probably most or all of the record companies. How difficult is it to open a streaming service channel in a different territory when it comes to the licensing?
I mean, obviously, as you said, so the good thing is we have licenses, so a legal service, unlike some other services which might just put out music. We pay artists, and we pay artists a lot. So over the course of our business, we have paid out over 8 billion euros already to the artist community. And we pay out most of the money that we earn to the artist community. When it comes to licensing, of course, the kind of tricky part, or what's kind of is kind of the local aspect of licensing, are of course collection societies in the countries. Mm-hmm. And the collection societies in countries are highly different. Some are very well established, and there might be some even monopoly collection societies. And some other markets, especially also on some like Central African countries, or if you look at the Eastern European countries, there might be more fragmentation, or there might be not 100% clear situation sometimes, some gray areas, which makes it complicated, because we really want to make sure, and we put a lot of love in really licensing everything. So that sometimes is a bit of an effort to first of all find out who is the right licensor and who really has the rights, because sometimes people are just claiming they have rights, so that takes some time to distinguish. But then once we have identified everyone, we license them, and yeah, that's the standard contract negotiation. So it varies absolutely from the contract parties and from seasonalities. There's a lot of aspects on how fast contracts can be signed.
Sure. But it's not something that would inherently be difficult to do when you're rolling out into a new territory, because you've got that existing business in other territories, right?
Yeah, I think that changed over time. So when Spotify started, obviously it was much harder to get licenses for an all-you-can-eat streaming service, because back in the days it was a novelty, it was a kind of revolutionary model. So obviously back in the days it was much harder to convince license holders to join into that model. But now, as the model is established, and as we're also seeing that in the markets where we have launched, the music industry revenues usually grew overall, and we could have a very positive impact on the music industry in general. So we have a track record of improving the commercials for the artist communities, Yeah, that's of course helping us tremendously in rolling out further territories.
One of the things that's always blown my mind about streaming service, and that's one of the things I love about it. I remember a decade ago, I went to the music store every weekend, buy 5 or 6 CDs. In South African terms, that would be 500-600 rand, roughly. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of money back then. Now, for the price less than the price of a CD, you can get all the music in the world. How does it work? I mean, how do artists survive, or how do they get the money, or how do they survive on the money they get, or how do they, you know what I'm asking? Like, yeah. It just seems the metric doesn't seem. Same with Netflix, I guess. How do they get to put out so many good shows when I'm only paying 70 rand a month? Please tell me a little bit about how that would work.
Yeah, absolutely. The music industry, if you look back in history, went through a lot of transitions. Even in the past, it has been a mass market game. Today, it is much more of a mass volume game. What happened after the piracy really started is that we have all seen huge, huge losses at all the big major labels, indie labels, artists. They really were like, they didn't see it coming. They didn't really know what to do. So it really is difficult to determine also what's the right end consumer price point, right? We as Spotify, of course, we need to have all our content owners and rights holders on board and to be all in line and agreement. And every country has a different economic structure and so on. So it's a long, long process. But I think then if you talk also to industry leaders in the music industry, they're all very, very happy now that there's a balanced approach in the market where a usable music services are in the market that deliver music to you at your fingertips without many, many boundaries at a price point that is decent, that is affordable for really the mass population.
So you said, I mean, the pricing then is linked to the country's GDP, you said, or the pricing that you launch a service at, or is it linked to those type of metrics in a country?
It's linked to a lot of things. It's like historic development. It's linked to many, many things. So it's also linked very much to the rights owners.
Sure. Yeah. You mentioned piracy, and I mean, I remember the old days of Napster. I mean, who will not forget? But it's true what you say. I mean, I don't hear of people downloading MP3s anymore. I mean, I don't hear of that in any of my circles, and I've got some eclectic friends.
Yeah.
All of them, they either buy albums from the independent labels, because you can do it online very easily if it's an artist you don't know, but most of them stream. They have one of the streaming services, and that's how they consume.
To be honest, I think the MP3 was more like an interim format. It's so clunky. You have to download it, have to wait for it to arrive, and then you have to have some cables or some Bluetooth connections to all your devices. And
well, you have to physically store that somewhere.
And then you have to physically store it, then you have to connect to it, then you forget about like connecting your new stuff, and then you're on the go, and then you don't have it with you, and then you're mad again. So the MP3 actually was good at its time, but it was really an interim format, so it was just like the way from physical to streaming, and that was in between, so I don't think the MP3... And you're also, coming also back to your previous question once again, not every human being in the country was buying CDs back at the time, right? So there's a certain amount of CD buyers, and then of these CD buyers, there were some heavy CD buyers and some who only casually bought CDs.
And some borrowed CDs.
And some borrowed CDs and burned CDs and whatever. So if you take the average revenue of a CD buyer, that's even less than an average streaming user who pays regularly every month 59 rands. So the commercials really add up, even if you look at that. And then you have like other effects that, as Claudio said, mass market effects, because we also have a free service. It's also good to fight piracy. So there's a lot of economical aspects that really make music streaming a success for the artist. And this is why we have paid out much more than other services or like other ways to consume music.
So you're talking about the free service. That is basically a tier that anybody can sign up for, and then they got music for free with ads in between. Does that mean I can only listen to albums on a free tier with ads in between certain songs, or is it only the radio service where it kind of plays music?
Right.
automatically for you?
Yeah, the free tier, because of licensing, there are a few restrictions in there. And also on a free tier, if we would just give out free music without any limitations or restrictions, it would just be another piracy
exactly.
service, right?
Somebody needs to pay for something. Right?
Exactly, yeah. But also here, the free tier that Spotify is offering is really also in balance, and it's been shaped over years to be a convenient model. For users to enjoy the free tier with those limitations or restrictions, which are not really limitations, so I can quickly talk about it a little bit. So yes, everybody can download Spotify today in South Africa and in 64 other countries around the world to their smartphones, to their computers, and start streaming right away. There is interruptions through commercial ads, which is on average it's much less than on commercial radio broadcast. So we feel it's a much more convenient way to enjoy free music, then also all albums, you find them there, and you can search for all songs and artists and you will find them. But then music goes very much into like playing similar music, similar artists, after you've searched for something.
Like a curated playlist that it automatically brings.
It's a curated playlist. And in the beginning, again, this is something that grew and developed over time, is that people thought, but I want to listen to that in this album, etc. But what we figure out is that, and you see that also in the ranking on many other music services, is that the priority of an album has actually slightly moved down in comparison to playlists. So it's really today's everything about playlists, and on Spotify, and on a free tier, you find the most successful playlists in the world. Some of them have more than 9 million followers. And it's also important, I want to mention, that we have lots of local playlists for South Africa.
Yes, I saw those when I was scratching around the app yesterday, and there's some really good stuff on there. You were talking about the playlist that's generating for you, and that's one of the things I think everybody's been raving about Spotify, is the algorithm, or this algorithm that predicts songs. It knows what you like, or it learns what you like, and then it basically recommends music for you that it thinks you'd like. And the stuff that I've found so far, I must be honest with you, has been really good. I found some new artists, some new songs, already added them to my new playlist on Spotify. So I can see that there's a benefit, but how does it work? How does it work? I mean, I guess you're not going to give me the formula, but is it just an engine that simply learns what you like and then just knows? It knows music genres, it knows what other people like, and then just compares them. Is it that the kind of algorithm we're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, basically, the system works like, is of course a very complex system, so it's actually hard, even if I would love to. It's very hard to explain to it. And even me, I'm not knowing all the details. There are some mathematical formulas behind and stuff like that, which I wouldn't probably even understand. But it's like, it's of course looking at consumption, what have other people put in playlists, and what have they listened to, what have they skipped after listening to that song, and then listening to another song. It's about what people liked on Facebook. It's about the usage of yourself on the system.
So if I connect with friends, does it take that into consideration?
No, it doesn't.
Only the stuff that I listen to.
Yeah, your stuff, but then, for example, if you connect your Facebook account and you like a lot of artists, then you will also automatically follow them if you log on, and then this will be taken into account again. So it's a complex formula, and the engine, of course, gets smarter. You probably can even call it an AI in a way. And it gets smarter, of course, over time, and that's why we hear a lot of times, and that's also my perception, that sometimes Spotify knows me better than all my friends and even whatever my wife. it's just like 100% correct.
For sure. And one reason why the engine is so good and is getting better every day is literally because we have 159 million users, or even more than that, because they literally telling the system if a music track is, I want to say, good or bad, but it's liked. Right, if it's favorable, and the conclusions being taken by the system, if I like this artist and the other artist, I might also like another third artist.
Sure. It's certainly been, the reason I mention it, it's certainly been better than the other ones I've used, and I'm a big fan of streaming services, and I can't put my finger on why it does that. Even the radio service where I choose an artist and just play, Spotify definitely seems to bring stuff, not just stuff that I would like, but stuff that I haven't heard before, which is always one of my big favorites, discovering new music, discovering new songs. Earlier you talked about playlists. Now, playlists is obviously a massive part of any music fan's enjoyment, because you kind of curate your own list of tunes. How does it work on Spotify? I mean, can I create a playlist and share it with everybody? Is it something that could eventually be featured on the Spotify app if it's something that's a good collection of songs and you guys, your curators, pick it and say, this is a good playlist?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have like thousands and thousands of shower playlists, for example. It's quite a funny phenomenon.
Shower playlists.
Yeah, with some of the advertisers, for example. Like if you have like you're selling a shampoo, you might tackle the shower playlist.
That's fantastic.
But of course, you can create unlimited number of playlists yourself on Spotify. You can give them fancy names. You can create one, dedicate them to your kid or to your wife. Or even to your audience. So we have many DJs creating playlists. We have artists creating playlists, some of the best top artists. They also create playlists and plug in other artists' music in there. And their fans are following that as well. And so the playlists are really great. So if you connect your friends, if you have a DJ that is a friend or an artist that is one of a friend, you can absolutely follow those playlists. So that's great. There's a real community growing very, very fast.
For sure.
And you can share everything on Spotify, right? So whenever you have a playlist or you found an album or a song that you like, then you can just share it through WhatsApp, SMS, Messenger. You can spread the word quickly.
I also like the feature in the screen that I can see my friends what they're listening to. That's a pretty cool thing. Again, it's coming back to this community thing, and you telling me what my friends listen to is one thing, and it's great. But actually seeing the song they're listening to, and I find myself now and then clicking on it saying, okay, I either haven't heard that song or I want to listen to it, and I add it to my playlist, which is great. Now on the DJ side of things, I found something very interesting. Spotify is the only app that I could find, or the only streaming service that I could find, that actually integrates with a DJ application. Now the DJ application I'm talking about is DJ Pro by Algorithm. Now I've been using this software for a long time, and one of the features I could never access was a Spotify integration. And that allows me to, at my touch of a button, get access to all those songs when I'm playing at a club, which is a pretty spectacular feature. I mean, are we going to see more of that kind of thing?
We're obviously always trying to extend our integrations. We have over 150 integrations already with hardware, software partners. The one you mentioned, also more like casual ones like Tinder or Waze or many other apps. And we are very happy. We encourage the app community to integrate us. Everyone can integrate Spotify into their app. We have an open API, and everyone who's interested to use our repertoire can just integrate it. Go to developer.spotify.com and there's everything documented well.
Oh, fantastic. I always thought that was something, because I've never seen it, and I always thought it was something that's either very difficult for app developers to do, or guess maybe it's just there wasn't a will or a need for it. But in a DJ application, because I scroll through some of the playlists, and within this app, when I go to Spotify, I can actually search what DJs around the world have got on their playlist, or just club songs or Eddie songs, whatever the genre is you're going to play
for. Makes DJ's job much more easy,
And again, for discovering music, because I was browsing through, mixing some tunes, finding another song with the same beat rate, just trying it, and then you actually realize, hey, this is a pretty cool song, I like it. You know, and again, it's about discovery. So I think what you guys are doing is pretty cool. So keep cool
at it. Nice. There are also SDKs, by the way, so you can integrate Spotify also in your apps that you build. So.
Fantastic. I hope more people would definitely look into that. Now, when we're talking about integration, I've had some questions from local users who's got Amazon Echoes in South Africa. Now, it's not obviously it's not an official product in South Africa. Would Spotify integration work in a scenario like that?
Good question. Actually, I haven't tried yet, but generally we are integrated very deeply into the Echo environment. And if it's not blocked because it's used outside of the standard territories, it should work.
Yeah, that's what I thought as well. I mean, unless Amazon blocks something. But again, if the Echo works as a device, I mean, it means it's working. It should actually then put
and
it
then
in.
You can
there's
can
other speakers as well, Sonos, Bose, Google Home, which is on sale in South Africa.
And all of those would be unlocked with
absolutely.
The Spotify.
They should be working right away.
Fantastic. Do you guys have numbers on streaming, like the music being streamed, top artists being streamed? Like, what is? Can you give me something? Like, what is the?
Sure.
What is the numbers of streaming music on a monthly basis?
That's the great thing about Spotify. That it's so transparent. You can actually go into the product and you will see the monthly active listeners of an artist. You can see the songs and how many times they have been streamed.
So
already.
I can actually go in and see all of those things.
Yeah, you can see everything by yourself. You can look into your favorite artist and say, okay, how many times has it been streamed? How many other people are listening to that artist? Sometimes quite interesting to see, I found this niche artist that no one knows, and you see, it has 1 million active listeners on Spotify in the last month, so wow. Probably not that easy than I thought.
So there's an entire dashboard then for artists then to log in and kind of see.
For every end customer. Not
for every
artist.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Every customer can just see it in the product. And then the artists have a special app called Spotify for Artists. And there they can even find all the demographics, the cities they have been played in. So they can even like adjust the touring schedule to Spotify data.
Oh, wow.
So that's kind of then the
I saw Jeremy Loop did a very interesting integration with his album launch coming out now. We're on Instagram, he shared a link, click on Facebook, and then you can pre-download or pre-order, so to speak, the album. It's in my playlist, and when the album launches, it's available. I can see a lot of South African artists getting into that, but my question is, how does an artist get onto Spotify? Do you have to go through a record label? Is there another avenue? And just briefly, I mean, you don't have to go into detail.
No, it's fine. It's absolutely simple. The feature that you're talking about is the pre-save feature, which is becoming more and more interesting for artists and for labels to really push a release and promote a release, actually, before the official release
and
date.
And see numbers, see interest, which is fantastic.
Exactly. So let's say you have your hop on Wi-Fi the next time and you pre-save the album, and you get in the car in the morning, and boom, there's the album. Users really appreciate this.
Unlike preloading it without their consent, but we won't say who did that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. All right.
We will obviously see a lot more artists doing this kind of push local. I mean, how would they get onto Spotify? Is it something they need to speak to the record labels about?
Look, I think artists today, they have so many different ways how they produce, how they tour, how they plan literally all their activities, and there are many different ways. Of course, some artists, they go through a major label, some are going through an indie label, some are just completely independent. And the independent artists, they go through some, they call it distributors or aggregators. They take their songs and publish it. And the good thing is it's got economies of scale, because they, I think it's a revenue share sometimes or a fixed fee sometimes, they then have their music being distributed to all the music services around the world. So it's very convenient. Yeah.
Fantastic. So that kind of wraps it up from our side. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you for bringing Spotify to South Africa. If you're listening to this podcast, we do have some 3-month codes up for grabs that we got from the guys at Spotify. So thank you again for that, with links in the description and with all the information on how you can win one of those 3-month subscriptions. Again, guys, thank you very much for coming out. I look forward to seeing you again when there's new developments on Spotify. We'll obviously keep an eye out for that family plan, which was said to be announced at some point. But for 60 rand a month, you definitely can't go wrong with getting a Spotify subscription. It's cheaper than the cost of a CD. And you got how many songs at your fingertips? How many songs do you guys have in your
playlist? Over 35 million.
35 million, yeah. That's bigger than any CD catalog that you'd ever want in your house. Again, thank you very much for your time, guys.
Thanks for your time.
Cheers. Thanks a lot.